and now Evangelist David Shannon.
So at this time, I urge you to take your Bible, open to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and try to push aside the concerns of the day or the worries of the present time, and let's strive to have a session together of worshiping and praising God. Decisions. Have you ever given thought in your life to how important decisions are? Have you ever given thought to the fact that decisions very oftentimes affect the rest of your life? You see, in my life, I can real easily look back and see just a few decisions that at the time they did not seem like that great of a decision, but yet now I realize they had a great effect upon my life. I remember as a young boy of 13 years old, maybe even 12, hearing a preacher preach a sermon, and the title of the sermon was Attack. And it was a powerful sermon, how Christians must attack Satan. And after that sermon, I was motivated to ask that preacher, could I just have a copy of that sermon? If I ever preach a full-length sermon, I'd like to preach that one. And he graciously gave me a complete copy. And yes, that was my first full-length sermon. I looked at that sermon and I thought, there's no way that I could ever stand before an audience and give this whole sermon. I didn't know how much effect that decision would have upon my life. Even just a few years ago, I still was unsure whether or not I wanted to preach full-time. Finally, I thought, now's the time to see. I didn't know the great effect that it would have upon my life. And you, in your life, you can look back and you can see decisions that you made, and I'm sure that you can say, just as I can say, at the time they did not seem that great, but now you realize that they've had a tremendous effect. And maybe some of the decisions you look at and you say, you know, I didn't know the great negatives that that decision was going to bring. And hopefully other decisions in your life, you can look at those and say, you know, I didn't realize the positive outcomes that were coming. Because you see, that's the second thing I want you to realize this morning. Not only do decisions very oftentimes affect the rest of our life, with every decision there are consequences. Some are good and some are bad. Sometimes the decision's very small, so the consequence is very small. But for some decisions, the decision is a great consequence, or a great decision, and the consequences are just as great. I urge you to think about young people. Think about your decisions that you make. Especially you are at the age where the decisions you make now can very easily affect in a positive or negative way the rest of your life. Every one of us, no matter what our age is, must make decisions. Perhaps one of the saddest stories we read is in Luke, the 16th chapter, about a man that made the wrong decision. And then when it came to other decisions, he decided not to decide at all. And that was the rich man. And we read the story how the rich man was there at his feast and how the poor man named Lazarus, he would come up and he would just beg for the crumbs off of the table. And we see that as they go into eternity, that the rich man is in eternal torment. And we see that the poor man, Lazarus the beggar, is in an eternal reward. We see that now the poor man, or the rich man that's in torment, he now wants to make a decision. His decision is, okay, now go back and tell my family. Tell my brothers. Tell them about salvation. Tell them about the spiritual things. Why? Because I've made the decision that this is not the place to dwell for eternity. I've made the decision that they should go somewhere else, that they should give their life on earth to serving God so that they can have eternal reward. And there he's told it's too late. That decision should have been made on the other side of eternity. And brethren, I plead with you this morning as we look at the importance of decisions, realize that the third and greatest reason to consider your decisions is that because every decision you make will and can determine your eternal home. I urge you to believe decisions are important. There are five very basic decisions that all of us must make. The first is very basic. The first is one that probably some of you would say, well, since we're here in this setting at the church, gathered as the church, why would we even bring this up? But yet it's a subject that I think we need to bring up. And I hope in the next few weeks that this one question we'll go back and we'll look at in depth. And that is, you must decide this morning, is there a God? say, oh, that's no problem. Of course I believe there's a God. Do you really believe there's a God? And brethren, I'm not talking about a small God. I'm talking about an all-powerful God. A God that knows everything you do and think. Do you believe that there's a God that can read your mind? Do you believe that there's a God that knows when and how and your motives behind what you do? Brethren, do you believe that there's a God that is the creator of all? Do you believe that there's a God that has always been, and when the end of this world comes, He will always be? You see, if you don't believe in that kind of God, there's no use for us to even consider this morning an eternity. How we must decide very basically this morning in our mind, do we believe that there is a God? The psalmist said in Psalms the 19th chapter, in verse 1, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. You see there, the psalmist believed it. And he said, Lord, all I have to do is look around me, and I see that there is a God. Brethren, how important it is for us to believe that there's a God. You see, that is one of those basic decisions that we must make. I urge you this morning, as we look at the next four, I urge you to think about the example that we have of Moses. Moses, perhaps, is one of the best examples of decision-making that we have in the Scriptures. And as we look at that great chapter of faith in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we see that Moses was noted for his ability to make the proper decision. This morning, as you think about, is there a God, are you going to make the proper decision? This morning, as we think about the others, will you make the proper decision? Will your faith and your decision-making, could it be listed in the hall of faith? Notice what he says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse 24 and 25. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had what you and I would call luxury. He had the Pharaoh's home to live in. He had all of the things that went along with that. He had the fine clothing, I'm sure. He had probably the finest chariots. He had men and women waiting upon him. I'm sure that he didn't have to worry about cleaning his room. I'm sure he didn't have to worry about preparing his meals. Moses was there in luxury. Moses had to decide, am I going to give up this and live for God, or am I going to stay and live in this luxury? Brethren, he made the decision, and he's went down in the hall of faith as having made the decision as a faithful child of God would make. This morning, are you that faithful child of God? Can you honestly say without any doubt in your mind, yes, I believe that there is a God? If you can say, yes, you believe there's a God, I urge you to think about our next question. Do you believe that this Bible is from God? Do you sincerely believe that this is not just a good literary piece of work, but you believe that this is God's plan for us? When we read of the occurrences in the Bible, do you really believe that those are the things that God wanted us to know? When you read about the marks of history, do you realize those are the things God wants us to learn from? When we read about the love that God has shared in giving His Son, do we realize that that is what God wants us to know about love? When we read about the things we should obey, do we realize those are the things God wants us to obey? It's not something that you just hear a preacher say from time to time. It's not something that a teacher teaches you in class. Brethren, do you sincerely believe that these are the things God wants you to believe? This morning, a second basic question that we must decide is whether or not we believe that this is from God. 3,800 times in the Old Testament, the various writers feel the need to say in one way or another, they say, and these are the words of God. You see, those writers of old, they wanted to make sure that men and women in that day and time realized this is not just Moses' words. These are not just the psalmist's words. These are words of God. Brethren, do we believe it today? Do we read the Word and do we long for the Word because these are tremendous words from a tremendous God? Or do we look at it and just throw it on the shelf and treat it as if it's a letter from someone that's unimportant to us? You see, if I really believe that this is the Word of God, I won't dwell without it. And I won't live my life without studying it. The third thing that I must answer for myself this morning, if I do believe that there is a God, and I do believe that this Word is from God, then I must decide this morning, do I believe that God means what He says? You see, there's many things in this book that requires action. As a matter of fact, this book requires us to give our life to that God in heaven. This book requires us, as Paul said, to crucify the old man of sin, to stop thinking as self wants to think, and to start thinking as Christ wants to think. Well, how do we learn how Christ thought? We read God's Word. Brethren, do we believe that God means what He says? When we go back and we look in Genesis, the second chapter, we see that God told them to avoid, that they could eat from all of the trees in the garden except one tree. Now, what did man do? Man and woman ate from that one tree. What did God tell them then? He said, at that day, ye shall surely die. What did He mean? A spiritual separation. A spiritual death. And brethren, it happened that day. When man disobeyed God, man and God were separated because of sin. Did God mean what He said? Yes, He meant what He said. Does He mean it today? Yes. How is the only way you and I are separated from God today? The only way is through our sins, right? Brethren, what if one of my closest friends falls away from the church? Does that automatically mean that I have fallen away from the church? No. Why? Because only my sin pulls me away from the church. Brother, what if one of my closest family members decides that they're no longer going to serve the Almighty God? Does that mean that I'm pulled away because I'm part of their blood? No. Why? Because only my sins can pull me away. But brethren, does that mean on the flip side that I can go and do what I want to do and that maybe God will just overlook those things? No. Sin, in the very beginning, separated God from man, man from God. And it's those same things that separate today. Brethren, I urge you to believe that God means what He says. In that same passage, when we read just a few verses later in the third chapter of Genesis, He looked and He started handing out the curses. Did God mean what He says? How many snakes have you seen walking around? None, right? Why? God looked at the serpent and He said, from now on you'll be on your belly going through the fields. Why? That was His curse. Did God mean what He said? Yes, He meant what He said, and it's still true today. He looked at man, and what did He say to man? He said, from now on, you'll fight the thorns and the thistles. How many of us have ever planted a garden and never had a weed? No one here has. Why? Because God meant what He said then, and He means it still today. And as a matter of fact, everyone here that has ever gone out in a hot summertime and worked in that garden and fought the weeds, He looked at Adam and He said, and you'll fight him by the sweat of your brow. And we know that that's still true today. And then He looked at Adam and He said, just as you came from dust, you shall go back to dust. Brethren, I urge you to believe this morning, but you've got to make the decision for yourself. Does God mean what He says? Yes, He means exactly what He says. Now, if we have decided yes to all of these things, we come to the fourth thing this morning that's so very important. And that is, if God does mean what He says, do we believe and are we willing to accept Jesus as our Savior because He said that He was giving His Son to be our Savior? Do you believe that? This is what Jesus said about being the Savior. He said in John 14, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way to what? The way to the Father. The truth about what? The truth about how to get there. The life about what? The life about how to live. The life that was the only life that could pay the price for sin. Why? No man cometh unto the Father but by me, is what Jesus said. Brethren, this morning, it's so important that we honestly answer to ourselves. am I willing to heed to God's plan of salvation? You see, as we look through the various verses in the Bible and we look at the various individuals that decided to become Christians, to become Christ-like and to obey, we see that every one of them heard. We see that they believed what they heard. We see that they were willing to turn away from sin. As we mentioned just a few minutes ago, Paul said, crucify the old man of sin. There's no way to come to Christ and say that you want to live Christ-like and then also at the same time live in the world. It takes giving up the world to become a Christian. Then we see that confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is a part of it. We see when we read in Romans the 6th chapter, we see when we read in Acts the 2nd chapter in verse 38, that there the only way to have remission of sins, remember what separates us from God? It's sin. The only way to separate those sins between us and God is the blood of Jesus Christ, and we come in contact symbolically with the blood of Jesus Christ when we're buried with Him in baptism, as Romans 6 teaches. Brethren, that is what God teaches about the plan of salvation. This morning, I must decide, am I going to accept that plan? Or am I going to reject that plan? You see, that too is a decision that must be made. And that's a decision that will affect the rest of our life on this earth. It's a decision that carries with it great consequences if we accept it, terrible consequences if we reject it, and it will affect us for an eternity. But there's a final decision that you and I must make if we say yes thus far. If we've said all the way down the line, yes, I believe there's a God. Yes, I believe He gave us the Bible. Yes, I believe He means what He says in the Bible. And yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and we should obey those things. Now, if we're that far, there's a final yes that we need to give. And that is, once we become Christ-like, will we continue to live with that influence in our life? You see, as we go back and we look at Matthew, the 5th chapter, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, we see that Jesus' words in Matthew, the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter deal with mankind and the characteristic of mankind. And as we look, just scanning the Sermon on the Mount, notice He said in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. Brethren, this morning we must all decide, am I going to live for Jesus Christ and be the salt? What is the salt? It's the preserving power. It's the power that takes the truth to a lost nation. Or am I going to stand for the world and be a salt that is good for nothing except to be trodden under the foot of man? Jesus, give us another example. The very next verse, He says, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And then He talks about the light. Brethren, we must decide this morning, are we going to be a light that's standing up for Jesus Christ, or are we going to be in the darkness, in the world, meaning that we mix in with the world? You can't see a difference in our life and the life of those in the world. Jesus gave another illustration of this same thing in the 6th chapter. In verse 19, He talks about where you laying up your treasures. He says, some lay up their treasures on earth where the moth and rust doth corrupt and where the thieves break in and steal. But Jesus urges them to lay up their treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Brethren, where do we stand this day? Where is our influence? Are we piling up treasures on this earth that we'll never take with us? Are we working? Are we giving our life? Are we loving one another? Are we obeying the Word so that we can store up treasures for ourselves in heaven? He also says again in verse 22 and 23, talking about the light and the darkness. And then finally, after Jesus gives many illustrations, He finally just breaks it down into simple terms. And He says there in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Jesus, was that a struggle then? Jesus, did people then try to keep one foot in the world and put another foot in the church? Oh, it must have been a struggle. It must have been a struggle then for some trying to live in the world and some trying to follow Jesus Christ. And He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hold the one, hate the other, or else he'll despise the one, love the other. You can't serve God and man. Brethren, how we need to long to stand with Jesus Christ. In the 7th chapter in verse 13, he continues that there's a straight gate. There's a narrow way. He says, for those that don't accept that, it's the wide path and it's the wide gate. He says also in verse 17 that there are those that bring forth good fruit, and he says there are those that bring forth evil fruit. And finally, he closes the Sermon on the Mount that we have recorded in the 24th through 27th verses, talking about that there is a wise man that built his house on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and there's a foolish man that built his house on the sand, which is any other foundation, and it sinks. Brethren, this morning, 5 very basic decisions that we all must make. How do you stand in that decision making? How we need to long to be like Joshua. You know, Joshua was not afraid to make a choice. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brethren, you may be one of those people. I've been around people before that hate to make a decision. Where do you want to eat? I don't care. You're anywhere. What do you want to do with your life? Oh, I don't know. Anything you bring up where there's a decision to make, they try to avoid it. Brethren, if that's your weakness, I urge you this morning to face the fact that these are some decisions that must be made if you're to have a productive life. These are the decisions that all of us must make if we're going to live for Jesus Christ. This morning, how do you stand? Do you stand having obeyed the plan of salvation? Do you stand still this day being the proper influence in the church, in the home, in your workplaces, and in your community? We want to help you any way we can. And if you need to respond, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.